Blog Talk Radio.
T-minus 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. All three engines up and burning. 2, 1, 0, and lift off.
Coach on Fire Radio.
Fire the
Hello, good morning. This is Rachel Stevenson with Rachel Out Loud, where we celebrate the fluidity of life, and we are boxless, labelless, and proud. I'm here with a special guest, Michael Brooks, the founder of Coach on Fire Radio. Welcome, Michael.
It's an honor to be here, Rachel, and I'm excited about your new radio show coming up on the network. That's pretty exciting.
Yes, I'm excited by this opportunity. It's great to have this platform to share some of these different ideas and concepts with listeners.
Very, very cool. And this is your show, Rachel. So we're going to get in a little bit about what that's going to be about and what our audience can expect in the coming weeks. But I want to delve in a little bit to who Rachel is. I know you have a really inspiring story. So why don't we start there and just backtrack a little bit and tell us about Rachel personally, where you've been, where you come from, and where you are today. So just where you've been, who you are, what you're doing today, and we'll just kind of take it from there and have some fun.
Fantastic. So I've had a few different major roles over the last few years. Probably the biggest turning point, I had lost quite a bit of weight about 10 years ago. I'm sorry, 2 years ago. Went back to school, got a degree in nutrition, and decided to venture out on my own after years in corporate sales. I did coaching for a while. I did nutrition guidance and counseling. And although I really enjoyed that and I enjoyed helping people, and I still do some of that today, I also at the same time got involved with supporting my LGBT community. I have an amazing wife. We met right in the Phoenixville, Pennsylvania area. And at the time we met in a cute little gay bar in town, and we had an opportunity to really connect with a lot of people in the community. And that place closed a couple years later, and the social scene kind of died along with that. So a couple of years ago, my wife and I decided to start hosting social events within the LGBT community. And before we knew it, this what started as a social community turned into a full nonprofit organization where we do education advocacy and host social events and do health and wellness awareness programming. So while I was managing this nutrition world and health coaching world separately, I was also managing this. And eventually, I just decided to start merging the two together and realized that we are so wrapped up in identities that we're given. I've been, you know, fat. I've been thin. I've been, I was raised Jewish. I have a Christian father. You know, I'm not rich, nor am I poor. And so I kept thinking over and over again, and even the whole labels of gay versus straight, it made me think a lot about labels and how we are in a very polarizing society where labels are put upon us instead of us really embracing and owning our own labels, how we want to identify. And so it really developed into this concept of talking about how fluid our society is, or humanity is, even if we are living in a polarized society. So that's really where this topic, Rachel Out Loud, came from. I wanted this platform to talk about some of these very polarizing issues. How do we bring people together? How do we embrace who we are? How do we be authentic and not rely on what we've been brought up to be, but instead be who we want to be, which is a very big difference. So lots of different worlds have kind of collided in creating this concept, and I'm excited to move forward to see where this goes.
And how do we do that, Rachel? How specifically are you doing that to bring acceptance and the removal of labels. I guess what I'm asking is, what do you want people to know? What's your message to bring out, and how do they embrace that?
I think the real message is kind of restating what I said earlier, but I'll embellish on it a little bit too, or elaborate. So my whole message really is, again, we live in this polarized society, but we are a very fluid species. So it's really getting people to think outside of the norms that they were brought up with. You know, instead of someone walking down the street and saying, oh, there's a tall, white, thin, Christian, straight person, having us start thinking about them first as a human, getting to know them as a human, and then allowing that person to identify as they want to identify, and really taking ownership for that. I think, you know, when I was younger, I was very quickly labeled the chubby kid, the smart kid, the Jewish kid. And as you grow up, and those are the words you keep hearing, that's what you wind up becoming, when in fact, sometimes that's not truly who you want to be. We hear this a lot about, you know, parents not telling kids that they're not good enough or smart enough, because eventually that's what they wind up all, more often than not, becoming. So it's really having conversations with people, and I would love to get people on this radio show that maybe have different opinions on these subjects, so we can have a very open platform to discuss our differences of opinions and maybe find some common ground, and hopefully encourage people to look beyond what they know and what they grew up with. Does that
help
clarify?
Yeah, very cool. And that's exactly what I was looking for, Rachel. In fact, I recall a couple of years ago, I think now, I saw a Coca-Cola in some Middle Eastern countries did an experiment with 10 people that were quite literally blindfolded, and it was a very diverse group of people, and they just had them talk, and you had everything from, you know, huge people that were tattooed to Muslims to Americans to Europeans, and they had 10 people sitting around the room, and then they had them take off their blindfolds. And the judgment and the labels had just kind of disappeared. It was a really, really interesting. And they put that out in the Middle East as a commercial with the Coke cans not labeled. It was really a kind of a creative project that they had done there. And I also know of a study where in England, this is what happened. A group of teachers were given some kids that had excelled, some gifted kids, and told that they were disadvantaged and not very bright. And the teachers automatically dumbed down the curriculum to them, yet the kids were gifted. And they gave some disadvantaged kids that were not testing well to teachers that were told that these were the brightest kids in the school. And how that affected how they taught and what the kids learned was dramatic, and that's primarily your message, I think. Is that, am I hearing that correct?
Yeah, I think that's exactly where I want to get. You know, I run an organization where we're so quick to label people, you know, especially in the LGBT component, you know, whether they're gay or straight, and so I want to really challenge people. I mean, the whole point of this is to challenge people to think beyond that, that we don't have to fall into these categories. It's kind of like the whole Kinsey scale, if you're familiar with the Kinsey scale. It's, the whole concept was not everyone is going to be on one extreme or the other. People fall on different levels of this sexual orientation scale, and I think that same thing can be applied in any aspect of our life, from political views to race. Sexual identity, not just orientation, religion. And so I'd love to get people really active in the show who either agree with those concepts and we can talk more in depth about them, or maybe they don't agree. And how do we bring both of our ideas together to try to open up conversation about it.
Mm-hmm. And I know that you speak all over. How do you find your message resonating in today's day and age?
I think it's a really hot subject right now. I think we are beginning to see, if you look at America, for instance, we are a melting pot. We're a melting pot of religion and races and sexual identities and careers and cultures. And so right now, especially in this political climate, which has really divided people more than brought people together, I think people are looking for that. I think there's a whole group of people out there that are really looking to educate some of these divisive communities on the fact that we really aren't that opposite from one another. We are not really opposites. We're kind of, I like to say, it's not a black and white society. It's a rainbow society. We have lots of colors in the middle of everything. Yet we like to box things in and label people. That's why I love that idea of being label-less and box-free, because I want everyone to think like that. So I think it's resonating very well. And I think it's going to just continue as we move forward.
Cool. And let's talk a little bit about your weight loss journey, because I think that can be helpful to people. How did you do that? And did you find it easy? Did you find it difficult? Did you come up with a magic formula, or what's that all about?
So I've struggled with my weight since I was very young. I joined Weight Watchers when I was like 14 and have been a lifetime member on and off for many, many years. I've done many weight loss programs, whether it's Jenny Craig or LA Weight Loss, Weight Watchers. And this time I went back to a very popular program that many people find successful. But the difference this time, I went back to lose my weight in 2009. And the real difference was I went in with a different mentality. If you go into a weight loss program and you say to yourself, oh, I'll lose 20 pounds and then I'll plateau and I won't go any further, you're setting yourself up for failure. And this time I put myself first. I decided to put my health as my priority. And so I committed every week going to my weight loss program at the same time, having a positive attitude instead of a negative attitude. That is really what made me successful this time around. It took me about 18 months. I lost about 115 pounds.
Wow.
And then, I'm like a little person.
Wow.
And then,
that's a lot. That's amazing, Rachel. Congratulations.
Thank you. And I won't lie. It's been a struggle. I mean, I'm definitely not as thin as I was in 2011. But I really, and again, I think from a young age, kind of talking about the label concept, I was labeled as a chubby kid. I was labeled as a fat kid. And so even when I got to my thinnest, my label was still fat. And so I think I really struggled with finding Rachel, I had no problem finding the fat kid. I was trying to find Rachel underneath all of that. And so when I lost my weight, because I hadn't really come to terms with embracing my new label, it really was a struggle. And over the last few years, running different businesses, doing lots of different networking things, eating, socializing. I've definitely gained some of that back, but I think I've finally gotten to a place where I'm just happy being who I am, although I want to make sure I continue focusing on the health component. So everyone should embrace who they are at any stage, but it's really about making sure you're at your healthiest state, not at your thinnest or your sexiest or your best-looking state. It's really, are you at your healthiest and most authentic state? And that's really what I'm trying to work on at this point in my life.
Awesome. Rachel Out Loud, you just have a tremendous message here about acceptance and not labeling people. And I'm really excited about the show. And I know you have your first official premiere of your radio show coming up, I believe, next week. So why don't you tell us when that's going to be and what you have planned for your first show, if you even know yet?
Well, the first show is going to be on November 29th. I believe we have it set for 6 p.m. At this point, I have a couple of guests that I'm in the works of trying to get on air. I definitely would love to invite guests on that have really lived a very label-filled life and have learned to embrace their authenticity. So I think the first show will really give an example of someone like that. I also want to obviously talk a little bit more about about the subject and really introduce the show even more on during that segment, and talk about the different ways in our society that we do tend to box ourselves in to these extremes and how we can start opening conversations up with other people about how we're not really that much of a black and white and polarized society. So it'll be offering some advice, too, on how to have conversations right now, especially in this political climate with people who really oppose those views and want to continue labeling people as they see fit.
Exciting, Rachel, and I can't wait to listen. And that will be November 29th at 6 p.m. Eastern time. So I will definitely be listening, and I encourage everyone to come out, support Rachel, and hear some really, really interesting stuff with a not only transformational but a very, very important message that that we all need to get behind and learn. So it's going to be very, very exciting, Rachel. I'm honored to have you as a part of the Coach on Fire team. And what I would like to do now, with your permission, is let's just have some fun and get to know Rachel personally a little bit. I'm going to ask you a series of just kind of fun questions and see where we go with that, and then we'll end the show and see you next week on the 29th. How's that sound?
Fantastic. Sounds like a plan, and thank you also for having me with your team.
Excuse me. Oh, sure. No problem. It's been my pleasure and my honor, Rachel. This has been awesome. So do you have a favorite guilty pleasure?
Oh, well, in the food, we'll talk food first, because obviously that's been a thing that I struggle with so much. But my food pleasures are anything chocolate and anything ice cream.
Okay.
But, yeah, and then other than that, guilty pleasures, I do from time to time get caught watching The Bachelorette. That's probably a guilty pleasure of mine.
We have one other host say the exact same thing, so... That's interesting. The Bachelorette. If I were to ask your wife, Faye, what's one thing that she knows that most people don't know about you, what would that be?
Oh, God, that's a really good question. It's funny because I'm actually very much an open book. So I tend to share a lot about my life with other people. I don't know if there's a lot that she might know, but I think the biggest thing is I've overcome anxiety disorder my entire life, and she gets to see that struggle a little bit more than everybody else. I am open about talking about it, but I think she would probably tell people that I power through things that most people would tend to shy away from, even if I'm in the midst of having anxiety. So... That's probably one thing. She might also tell you that I'm usually up until 2 a.m. in the morning working on things and never stop thinking.
Gotcha. Well, okay. Well, that's something there. It's kind of interesting. Anxiety. A lot of people suffer from that. So let's just go back to education mode here for just a second, and then we'll get back into some of these questions. What three things would you tell people on how to handle that?
You know, I think the focus is really trying to focus on the exterior. In those moments, you become very internalized. And it can be very easy to start worrying about how you're feeling and the sensations you're having. So I make sure at that moment to tell myself, I'm a big believer of positive affirmations and using things like, you know, Wayne Dyer and Louise Hay, the affirmations that they teach to say, you know, all is well, everything's going to be fine. And then I put myself out and focus on the task at hand, and I focus back on the people surrounding me and focus on colors and textures and the sounds in my environment. And that helps me get back outside of my own head. And that's been very helpful for me throughout the years, because I don't take medication for it. I don't rely on anything to help with that other than positive affirmations and breathing techniques.
Awesome. I think that's very, very helpful to people. And let's get back to some of the personal stuff. The best book you've read in the last 6 months. What was that, Rachel?
I said I took your fun away there.
That's okay. I just wanted to get that in because that is such an important. So many people, you know, have that issue. So, and you were struggling with it and overcoming it. So I just kind of wanted to get that in there. But have you read a book in the last 6 months that you thought was just awesome that you would recommend to others?
There's a number of them. I obviously read a lot of LGBT books because that's a big area I focus on. My favorite lately is Love Wins by Jim Obergefell and Debbie Sensabaugh, who it was all about the Supreme Court decision to legalize gay marriage around the country. That was a big one. As far as outside of that world, I love the book. There was a book called Mind Over Medicine, and I'm trying to think of the name of the author. I'm drawing a blank right now, but it was really an interesting book on the concept of the placebo effect, that, you know, when doctors come in and tell you that you have XYZ, you all of a sudden may develop the symptoms that are associated with it, where if a doctor at the end of a session says, oh, you're going to be great, you look healthy, you're more likely to leave that doctor appointment feeling positive and healthy. And it really was, and that, I think it goes a lot to just mind over matter. You know, your mental state is so important to succeed in life, whether it's weight loss, whether it's, you know, embracing who you are, whether it's speaking in front of an audience or just getting healthier. So that's a really interesting book, a very easy read.
Okay, and who is the author of that?
That's what I was trying to find out for you. I was drawing a blank on the author, but let me see if I can find out. It's by Lisa Rankin.
Okay, cool. Just so people can, and I assume that's on Amazon. And,
yes, and her name is and then Rankin is R-A-N-K-I-N.
Okay, very, very cool. Have you seen any movies in the last 6 months that you thought were just unbelievable?
Well, you might laugh at this also because this is another little guilty pleasure, but I'm not necessarily one to go to the movie theaters. I much prefer curling up on my sofa at home, and my weakness lately has been the Hallmark Movie Channel, so those are the only movies I can think about at this moment. So that's probably the most movies I've watched lately, but I also did watch, we watched Spotlight recently. That was a movie about the Catholic priest, and that was an interesting movie, a very good movie, but a little bit more intense. So.
Yeah. You'll even find me watching the Hallmark Channel occasionally because I grew up in California, and a lot of the actors and actresses that are my age that have families and, you know, have done the star thing. They do the Hallmark, pays reasonably well, and they can get it done quickly and have the rest of the year off, and they just kind of love doing them because they're quick shoots.
Hallmark
know.
Movies, even though I watch them a lot, because of what I do and even the subject that I talk about here, I have noticed, especially lately, and maybe I was just not noticing it before, how they lack in diversity. The couples always look the same. They're always the young white male and female.
Yeah, and that's a very, very good. That's a very, very good point with the film industry. I think that's a very, very good point with the film industry in general, not just with the Hallmark Channel.
Absolutely.
I think you can go through probably every, you know, well, easily probably 90-95% of the romantic comedies, for example. I think you can go through. Not only are they, you know, their scripted formula, but the lack of diversity that you would see there, I would bet it's 90-95%, you know. So I would agree with you 100% there. And it's going to take some interesting cultural change before that, before Hollywood gets, you know, behind that. As liberal as they are and as accepting as they think they are, they're really not. So it's kind of an interesting topic that you could quite literally do a whole show on, you know, at some point. Very, very interesting. And so I think we've about covered it, Rachel. The 29th is going to be your premiere show. It's going to be exciting at 6 p.m. And I think we'll end, before I turn it back to you to close and And you can prepare for, we're recording this the day before Thanksgiving, so I hope you have a wonderful day planned. And we'll see you on the 29th at 6 for the very first premiere of Rachel Out Loud. But my final question, speaking of Hollywood, and that, do you have a favorite or just a celebrity crush?
Yes, that's an easy one. I've had a crush on Ellen DeGeneres for years. So
okay, Ellen.
That was an easy one.
Cool.
Yeah.
I have met her out here a couple of times, and I have to tell you, she's entirely Ellen. She's entirely genuine. She is exactly who she is on TV, and very, very funny. I mean, naturally funny, just in person, too. So great answer there. Well, thank you, Rachel. This has been an absolute honor. I've enjoyed getting to know you a little bit better. I'm excited you're a part of the Coach on Fire radio team. I think you have such an important message to get out there to the world. And I'm looking forward to the 29th at 6 p.m.
Thank you. And Michael, thank you so much for joining me today. I'm excited to be a part of this platform and program, and I hope we really change lives with this message and this radio show. So
yeah, you know what, Rachel, that's exactly what you're going to be doing, is changing lives, and that's what's so exciting about this platform and bringing you online here with your show. So what I'm going to do is turn it back to you, and you can close it out, play the music, and we will see you next week on the 29th at 6 p.m. for the very first edition of Rachel Out Loud.
Fantastic. Bye, everyone. Happy holidays.
I can do anything. I can reach any goal today. I can do what I want. I can be what I want to be.
Coach on Fire Radio.